Bukowski here, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KABC. Yes, right to it. People have been burning me up for the last 24 hours, and I only want to get through it once. I'll get through it once. So even my friends, I say, listen, I'll tell you what I think of the debate. I'll give you a sneak peek, but got to tune into the show because I'm gonna just dissect it here. And I want to tell you about, so I, in prepping here, I saw the debate twice. And I think that's important because I saw it once live last night and then I saw it again this afternoon to just refresh my memory and see if I had a different reaction to it the second time. I'm going to get into that. So first, most important here is setting the scene for how I saw the debate. I didn't have the typical viewer experience. I went to support a couple friends, went deep into enemy territory at a pre-debate and debate viewer party for another station in our market. Got to support your friends in radio. So I went and so I saw it live with a bunch of people, about 1,000 people in the room. It was in here in Orange County, and I would describe the room based on the informal polling that took place as being about 95% pro Trump, about 1% pro Hillary, and about 4% Johnson. That's a fair assessment. I took producer Robbie with me for protection. So would you say that's fair? Yep. Okay. And so watch the debate live. And part of the problem with watching in a big room full of people is you don't pick up on the audience reaction in the room of the debate. That's drowned out by the audience reaction in the room that you happen to be in, which in my room was very pro-Trump. So perhaps that's something that affected my first round impression of the debate. But I will tell you this. That debate ended, and I thought I had, my first reaction was that I just witnessed a live murder on TV. I mean, I thought, my first reaction was, yeah, he got lost in some weeds. He got, you know, he got into stuff he shouldn't have. He was a little too defensive. There was a mushy middle. But immediately upon watching it, I thought it was a great show. And I'll tell a great debate and a great performance. And I thought, look, I thought the guy came across as strong. I thought that he, you know, he didn't, there were no knockout punches against him. I mean, he came out looking presidential. And we later learned they're calling that plausibility right now. There are all these different polls that are being taken, calling it plausibility. But just the visceral reaction that I had was this was a solid performance. Yes, there's the usual he should have, could have. You know, I'll take apart some of the moments that I thought he really could have gone after some low-hanging fruit. But all in all, in toto, he did very well. And Hillary, yeah, you're true. Everybody was surprised she stayed vertical. But in all, she was terrible. It was like it was a robot. It was a programmed robot. She just stood there and moved mechanically and laughed on cue. It was terrible. It was almost, you remember high school? You know, I had a big debate team in my high school. It was a big deal. Debate team, and they won all sorts of prizes and accolades and these. Well, I never did any of that because I, you know, anyway. But they got sent over all over the state, and you'd go to these. I went to one of these competitions once to check it out, to support a friend, and here's how it just was very wooden, memorized, very scripted, and you get points for that. Which is why there is a fundamental disconnect between what all the Illuminati, all the brilliant people on television think about the debate and what you think about the debate. And if you are alarmed by that disconnect, let me tell you something. If you feel that what you feel inside is not what everybody else is saying, it's okay. Because what they think, okay, what they're saying, what all those smart people on TV and in newspapers and online are saying, there it is, I just did a little sniffle, a little Trump sniffle. Did you hear him sniffling? That was the big thing. Did you hear him sniffling? Oh my gosh, give me a break. Did you hear him sniffling? I didn't pick up any of that. It wasn't apparent when I watched it the first time. But if you're feeling disconnected, if you feel like what your experience was, your personal take on it was different than what everybody is saying, that's fine. It's okay. Because here's the thing, the trained professional looking for the points in a debate, looking for the scoring of a debate, the reason Trump has done so well, I got to explain this. If you're scratching your head going, how does this buffoon even deserve to breathe the same air as Hillary Clinton up on that stage? If you're thinking that, let me explain something to you. Trump, from the very beginning, has communicated in a way, in a style, and in substance directly to the people. He has bypassed, he decided early on, I don't have to convince the media. I'm not speaking to the media. I'm not trying to win over and kiss the rear ends of the political elites. I am speaking directly to you, the voter. And it has worked since July of 2015. So why would it stop working now? Well, I'll tell you. So what? The minute the debate ended, that was my thought. I thought, here, I just saw a murder on live television. Rest in peace, Hillary Rodham Clinton. And then I did what every person has to do after sitting and drinking refreshing beverages for an hour and a half. I went to the bathroom. Now you picture the crowd that was at this event. If you just tuned in, I'm talking about my experience at the Trump debate. I'm calling it the Trump debate because might as well be the Trump debate. I mean, he dominated it. I saw it in a big auditorium, about 1,000 people there, mostly Trump sympathizers. I was combining Trumpists and sympathizers in one word. Anyway, I go to the bathroom, and I will tell you, listen to me, this is crucial. It's not scientific, but it's crucial. The mood in that bathroom, now mind you, I was there for business, but the mood in that bathroom was jubilant. I have never seen so many happy people in a bathroom ever in my life. Well, it's because I live in Orange County and I see things are different in LA. And why? Now, and let me tell you about the kind of people. I mean, these are regular dudes. These are just, I mean, they're contractors. There's one guy in front of me in line. Again, this is not scientific. This is just my observation and reaction, the immediate reaction, the aftermath of the debate. Everybody is exuberant. One guy said, yeah, I should have stayed kind of away from that. I thought my feelings precisely. And he goes, you know, and this one guy says, you know, I usually vote Democrat. I usually vote Democrat, but no, this guy, I am all in. So what is it? How does this all kind of, why does this matter? Well, it matters because I left the debate. I thought it was a Trump win. And then, of course, you know what happened in the 24 hours news cycle. It's almost like Trump got run over by a car over and over and over again. And I'm trying to take it apart. And I think what we have to do is look at kind of what it is that's specifically being said. Because I think some of the criticisms of Trump's performance, some of the places where even in a very friendly environment where Trump is going, even on Fox News and that kind of thing, you have things that are going on that are absolutely, absolutely, absolutely beneficial. So let me break this down here. What we have is I'll tell you what I saw. I went to Fox News and I was on Bill O'Reilly. And they had Frank Luntz on, right? You guys know him. He's the pollster. He's the guy, the most hideous man on television. This giant grouper mouth. And he's going off about how horrible he is. And I'm telling you, he's reacting to how bad Trump is. And Frank, so he's got his curves and his charts and he's got everything going back and forth. And one of the things that he's saying that's really crucial, he goes, what Trump did was so bad, he talked over the moderator. He talked over, you don't do that in a debate, you don't talk over the moderator. Now I'm going to ask you something. My take on that, my take on talking over the moderator, very simple. I think he took charge. I mean, when you think back 4 years ago and you think back to Candy Crowley, you think back to Romney, you think back to Candy Crowley cutting Romney off and saying, excuse me. And then Romney just sitting there and taking it and being a deferential little, nice little choir boy. And where did that get him? Nowhere. And Trump is a street brawler, but we all know this about him. He's a tough guy street brawler. So he goes in, and Holt did it again and again and again. I mean, the best example of it is saying what a glowing Obama economy we have. And what a great recovery it's been. And Trump's just cuts him off. Says, no, what do you mean we're kind of glowing recovery? What are you talking about? We don't have a good recovery. We've got nothing. There's pain. There's pain in the heartland. And the thing about it is it resonates with us. Because unless you're part of the tech bubble, unless you're in an industry, unless you're fortunate, unless everything's going great, you know that the economy is not off to a roaring start. And for us in California, it's a little bit different than if you live in Oklahoma or if you live in places like Michigan. By the way, I'm naming some, Michigan as a swing state, Pennsylvania. The Democrats used to be able to run on the economy. And Trump, that's what he did. He seized on the economy. He seized on issues that have been traditionally very, very friendly, good ground for Democrats to gain on. So, what do I think? I told you I saw the debate once, first live with an audience, and a second time I went and saw it on, I think it was an NBC stream, a capture of the stream, because it's the first one that popped up. I looked it up on my Apple TV. And first thing, I got to tell you, the best and the worst part, if you doubt for a minute that you have bias in the media. Let me tell you about this bias. So I've got this NBC stream up and they do a pre-debate segment that's produced. And the whole segment is nothing but a giant advertisement for Hillary Clinton. They say, I mean, it was crazy. They had people on, a series of women, a different kind of sad sack minority looking types. You know, it looked like a giant Benetton ad. Everybody saying how, you know, my daughter, she picks up on the fact that she says, oh, how could that person become our president? I mean, oh, and the mom says, oh, and my heart swelled with pride, and my heart just got, oh, it got, I was so happy, and it just, oh, I was just, that my, even my five-year-old gets it. And it was unbelievable. So I'm telling you, this is, and so these are the people that are picking the questions, and you think that Holt is being fair and handled. Maybe this is, there's a bias. And Trump knows this, and so when Holt goes in and tries to, you know, tries to throw in these curveballs, when you have that kind of thing happen, I'm telling you, he's gonna go for the jugular. And by doing it, he portrays strong leadership, he portrays strength, and he gets it done. All right. When we come back, I'm gonna tell you why, I'm gonna tell you exactly where other people's opinions about this are coming from. So we'll be back in just a few short minutes. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
When you want to figure out what any organization is doing, you always go to the blabbermouth. And in the case of the White House, folks, Biden is the blabbermouth. He's the guy that they can't get to shut up.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
And we're back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KABC. Taking apart the debate last night, the epic showdown, Trump v. Hillary. And I was just saying last segment how I saw the debate twice, and then the first time that I saw it, I saw it live, and in a setting with a lot of people there, at a viewing party, and I'll tell you, my first reaction was a very positive one, and so it wasn't until later when I started to hear all the talking heads, you know, taking it apart. I thought, yeah, you know, what is there anything to it? And I realized. I realize that there really isn't. I mean, ultimately, we forget this. We're in California. We're in a lot of us, in a very progressive environment. In fact, I always say it's the LA New York bubbles, right? The left coast, you got the east coast. You've got people who tend to be fairly progressive, educated, and you know, in my group of friends and people that I know, it's, you know, they're not very many Trump supporters. But you forget about this. You forget about that this vast section of America, and not just the flyover country, but people among us. At this event that I went to, about 1,000 people, most of them Trump supporters, they were very happy with Trump's performance. I'll tell you that. Very happy. And who are these people? Well, they're people you interact with every day. They're teachers. They're cops. Well, they're contractors. They're small business owners. And here's the thing I never thought, you know, I really enjoyed hearing this, I felt that Hillary lost the debate right in the very beginning when she began talking about the economy, and she's talking about the economy that left people behind. And this is what every liberal, when you turn on the TV and turn on the radio, and everybody's having just over the moon with what a wonderful opening Hillary had. Remember that make the economy fairer? That was a big theme of hers throughout the night. Make the economy fairer. And then it came. Make the wealthy pay their fair share. And the crowd booed. And I looked around the room and I said, yeah, this is crazy. You've got a lot of mostly middle class, maybe even lower income people, and they're booing the tired leftist line about making the economy fairer and making the wealthy pay their fair share. And I'll tell you, this is a more people than I realize. Certainly more people than a lot of people out there among us here in liberal left coast land realize. Understand the premise is that when you rob the rich over and over and over again and tax the rich to death, that the net effect to the economy, to every little person's economy, is devastating. You know, when you look, I looked at the room and during the debate, and there's, like I said, there's a handful of contractors. They're wearing their contractor T-shirts. And when they were leaving after the debate, they're leaving in their work trucks. These are people that understand that when you raise taxes on the wealthy, there is a restriction, there's a constriction of economic activity because there is a finite pie of money. You take money away from that pie and the business that's owned by that rich, evil rich guy, he's going to hire a few less people. He might even let go of a person or two and make the rest of them pick up the slack. Where the money, this idea and the Democrats' notion that this money is just growing on trees, that it's a, you know, it's just, we're just going to keep taking. We're going to keep shaving money off the top. The net result is the removal of money from the economy that does not end up in regular people's pockets. And Trump supporters are getting that. And Trump is one of the few people out there who's able to articulate it and stood up for it. And he did it in the debate to wild cheers. And so if they're cheering in that room, I promise you there's people all over America that are cheering. All right, when we come back, I want to talk about race because it came up and it's one of the things that, it's one of those things that all the talking heads think that he bombed on. And I want to tell you why he didn't. All right, Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, back after this.
You're looking for a show that doesn't sugarcoat the truth. Sam Nation will accommodate you.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC, where we talk about things you just don't hear most places, if anywhere else. And I'm going to tell you here, I'm going to wade into something. I usually try to get on those topics that people don't want to touch with the 10-foot pole, and this is one of them. We're talking about the debate, and everybody's talking about it, of course, but the one part of the debate where the consensus generally is that Trump did very poorly, and it was the subject of race. And I'll tell you, I couldn't believe my ears. There's something that Trump said that really resonated for the truth of it. Now, he was asked a question about healing and outreach having to do with minority communities. And the subject came to black communities, and Trump said a few things, and then he basically, and paraphrasing here, he said that look, hey, you know what? The Democrats come along every however many years. You know, every 4 years they come and they court the black community. And then what? They go radio silent for 4 years and then come back again just to get votes. He said that. And people went AWOL. I mean, dude, bonkers, crazy about this. The thing about it is it's painstakingly, it's true. You know, I look, and I give the example, of course, is Obama. When Obama came to office, and I remember this because I wasn't a big Obama fan, but I thought, you know, I thought when Obama was elected that he would be this, the you know, all right, good. Let's see. Maybe that this is something that can help our country heal. Clearly have, you know, we've got some problems. Let's do it. Let's talk race. Maybe a black president can talk about real race issues the way, you know, George Bush couldn't. And this will be good. And instead, what have we had for, I'm telling you right now, seven and a half years of antagonizing. I mean, every time there's any issue, Obama puts himself in the place of an antagonizer because he falls back to his DNA of a community organizer. He falls back on his DNA of a rabble rouser. And that brings me to something powerful. This is something where fundamentally Hillary fell short in the debate. It's because in order for left-wing policies to sell, they have to be the fundamental principle of left-wing policy is change, is revolution, is upend the status quo. But the problem is that left-wing rhetoric falls short when they are the status quo. Obama and his magnificent Race Relations Act has been part of the status quo for the last two terms, for 7.5 years. And so Hillary comes in and says, we're for this, and we, and a record number of minorities imprisoned and jailed. And it comes back to the same thing. We've had a progressive Democrat in office for 8 years. And in that time, you were Secretary of State. Ergo, you were a senior member of that cabinet. And before that, you were a senator. So please, so yeah. What role and then of course I've always thought, and I'll tell you, Democrats pander to minority groups and then give them nothing in return, because basically, yeah, here's the fact of it. Left-wing policies are job destructors. And job destructors, when you combine job destruction and the advent of the rise of the modern welfare state, nothing has destructed the inner cities and poor communities, especially communities of color, than that. So it's like a booty call. The Democrats, it's like, hey, you know, it's like when you call up the girl and you say, hey, what are you doing tonight? Every 4 years, it's a booty call. It's all it is. All right, when we get back, more on the debate and my thoughts on it. And I want to talk about snap polls versus scientific polls. A lot to do, mate, about that, and I want to explain why snap polls matter. Sam Brzozowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
In this country, you can pretty much say whatever you want. You have that freedom. But you can't do whatever you want. In other words, I can call you stupid, but I can't push you. There's a significant line there. I don't have the right to push you or to slap you. Now, I might want to slap you. Trust me, there's not a day that goes by that I don't want to slap somebody.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
So what do you do when you get into an accident? What happens if you've got an injury? If you've got any kind... Yeah, I mean, look, you get into an accident, we drive, we're always driving, we're always stuck in horrible traffic, and there you are. You're just bang, and you get rear-ended, and now you're dealing with some guy, he's yelling at you, and you go, I just don't want to deal with it. You throw your hands up. Don't do that. Don't despair, okay? What you want to do... Well, there's one person to call. And don't call his insurance company. Don't call him. Don't get involved with anybody. Let Sweet James Bergener, that's right, Attorney James Bergener, let him handle your case for you, okay? And a lot of people will call and they'll say, hey, well, you know, do I really need an attorney? And the answer is you always want to get a friend, someone who you trust, to review your case, to go through it, to look at it, and let Sweet James be that guy. Just give him a call. It's easy. So car accidents, motorcycle accidents, trucking accidents, slip and falls, dog bites, any kind of an injury. Give Sweet James a call. He's the attorney we trust here on the program, and he's somebody who's going to represent you well and take care of you to the end. All right? Phone number, 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rejofsky here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And we're recovering from the debate, going through it. Now, did you see this? Did you see this? There was a scientific poll that was taken, actually by a Democratic pollster. His name's Pat Cadell. And he did an interesting breakdown of the immediate reaction of people following the debate. Now, this is not a snap poll. The snap poll is where, you know, you go to a website, you who won, you know, and you click, you know, and those results, by the way, those snap poll results, those web results, you know, those were overwhelmingly pro-Trump. You know that? Like, overwhelmingly pro, I mean, it's like Trump was the winner all across the board. And then the scientific polls gave the edge to Hillary. But this Cadell poll, this flash poll, but scientifically done poll, it was very interesting. It broke some things down. Did you know, for example, that 95% of the people that were surveyed said, yeah, it didn't really change my mind at all? 95%. That kind of surprised me. And then 2% of the voters, this is interesting. 2%, you might think this is a small number. Of the undecided voters, 2% said they switched to Trump after watching the debate. And guess how many switched to Hillary? Guess how many Hillary was able, according to this poll here, was able to convert after the debate? Zero. None. Hillary converted, according to this one poll, zero of the undecideds. And I'll tell you, I think the answer in part lies in the snap polling data. Now, I'm not a statistician or anything, but I'm looking at the snap poll, and that's driven by what? By enthusiasm. It's a measure of how excited the people that liked what they saw, how motivated they were, right? Excitement, right? Drives motivation. So think about it this way. So the people that saw Trump, liked what Trump did, they went and they voted for Trump all across the web, right? This wasn't just on the conservative sites, but it was on CNN, it was on ABC and others. And when Hillary didn't get that same snap poll response, what that tells me is that her people just weren't that excited. They weren't that enthused by what they saw. And this is not science. This isn't, yeah, so you heard all these people talking all day today about how, wow, you got to discount this as non-scientific. It's snap polls. It doesn't count. It's just a bunch of people on the internet. But I think cumulatively, when you add it all up, it paints a picture of a far more excited, enthused Trump voting bloc than Hillary. And this whole election, let me tell you, this whole election is about how excited, again, motivated, are people going to be come election day. And Trump maintains the lead and the advantage in that department. And that may prove completely devastating for Hillary come November. So there it is. All right, we'll be back after this. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
In this present crisis, government is the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. And Sam Nation is the solution. Of course, you need jelly beans for that.
Talk Radio Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. All right, we're back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And just got an email from a listener, Elizabeth. We're losing $4 billion per year to tax evasion. That's five times more than the entire SNAP food program costs to feed 50 million people. Think about that next time you try defending taxes. Defend reducing taxes on the rich. Okay, Elizabeth, it's very simple. Okay, when you take money out of the, when you take money away from producers in an economy and give them to your 50 million non-producers, that is like a giant brake on the wheels that turn the economy. Because here's what Trump didn't say yesterday, but he might as well have. The economy is driven by what? An desire to accumulate wealth and to make money. You know, the craziest thing that Hillary said yesterday was that thing about employers should share their profits with their employees. And I laughed. I laughed out loud because that kind of thing, Elizabeth, might sell for you. It might work for you. But you get it. The whole point of being an employee is that you get a salary. You know, when the business loses money, you still get your salary. When the business makes a little bit more money, you still get your salary. If you want to share in profit from the company, if you want to share in profit, you also have to share in risk. And I'm telling you, people take risks. Business owners across America, across the world, take risks in order to make money. And the more money that you take away from them, you're taking away the motivation that they have to open up new enterprises, to start new ventures, to be more greedy. But all of those efforts, all of those activities create jobs, more and more jobs, which is why every time taxes are lowered, job creation goes up. It's a basic principle. So, you know, it's the difference between touchy-feely and, you know, the laws of economics. I guess the last thing I want to say about the debate, I'll close with this. Some time ago, I was trying to explain to you why Trump isn't the bully that everybody is saying that he is. You know, they're calling him the bully. And I heard that term again. And I thought, you know, what is a bully? You know, a bully is obviously somebody who uses their strength to beat up on a defenseless person. And it implies some kind of an unfair, you know, unfair manipulation or unfair advantage. We all know it. I mean, we've all been kids at school. And so I thought back, you know, in explaining the why Trump has a connection with his followers, why the Trumpists out there love this guy, thought to an analogy on the playground, which is that conservatives, a lot of regular people out there, have been beat up over and over and over again by the liberal media, by the elites, by the politicians. You know, we get lied to every 4 years. It's just lies, 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 promises. Pie in the sky. Everything's going to be great. We get beat up. You know, maybe we have a candidate we like, you know, a guy like, you know, Romney goes into the debate. He gets beat up and he doesn't say anything. And then, you know what? Along comes Trump and he gives it to him and he doesn't take it. And he shouts him down and that's not bullying. That's somebody standing up to the bully. And that is the foundation. That is why Trump has a connection with his followers that is virtually unbreakable. And it's something the media has missed and continues to miss to this day because they don't get it. They are the bullies. They are the victimizers. Okay? So they could never understand why people, regular people like the ones I saw at that event, why regular people feel protected by Donald Trump. All right. When we come back tomorrow, no, not tomorrow. We're preempted. We've got the Kings. We're not going to be here tomorrow. We're going to be back Thursday, 7 p.m. And we look for all sorts of good stuff. We'll hit what's ever happening in the news and get you the straight scoop as we always do. All right. SamNation.com, where we have all the information that's pertinent to the show. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.